in over the line. Matthews in. Scores! It's not nil-nil anymore. The Leafs get the opening goal right off the faceoff, 8 seconds into the period. And 34 is up to 23. Now he tries to get it in front. He does! They score! Matthews! Spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was good just to reset and, physically feel better, mentally, everything. It's no secret. It's a bit of a grind throughout the season. And, sometimes a little bit rest can kind of go a long way. So, I mean, I've been feeling good lately. And, we just want to continue to get better as a team, get better individually, and string along some wins.
That's right. It's Friday on the Fan Morning Show. I'm feeling good today. Feeling excited, Justin.
What's going on?
Let's crush the end of this week.
What's the reasoning?
Well, I don't know.
What's going on in your life?
What a day yesterday. Rolling in on a high. Not only did we get to meet Jason Priestley in person, I got to brush shoulders with the Blue Jays at the game last night, including Kevin Kiermaier.
It's the be-all, end-all?
That was an elite day in terms of immaculate beings.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
What was the vibe up there with the Blue Jays?
It was so fun.
Happy to be Blue
Jays?
They were
vibing.
Excited about the renovations?
They were. I said, hey guys, any word on Looney Dogs? They didn't answer. Chris Bassett is a giant man. I said, welcome to Toronto. Let's get you on the Fan Morning Show. Kevin Kiermaier couldn't even put words together, so just avoid that one. Vladdy was fired up. Espinal, he was vibing. He's like super talkative. He was pumped up. He's like, it's an amazing game. Let's go. And I was like, let's go. They were fired up. It was awesome for them. Like, they got a big ovation. They got their jerseys on. It was just really, really fun.
Remember the team unit days?
What do you mean by team unit?
When, like, the Blue Jays, this might be, like, this was a while ago. This
was I alive?
You were definitely alive.
Team
it was
unit.
When, like, the Maple Leafs and the Blue Jays were, like, interacting with themselves.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, there was, like, a unit on the Jays.
On Twitter and so on
well,
and so forth.
Well, they're buddies.
Like, Ricky Romero was a part of
it. Oh, yeah. Well, Ricky's
Tyler Bozak, Brett Laurie, J.P. Aaron Sebia.
Wow, what a lineup of guys.
We're supporting each other. Maybe this is Team Unit 2.0.
I think so.
I know the text line remembers Team
Unit.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I'm coming around to it as a memory, but, I mean, that squad was fun. Like what you're mentioning, team unit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the Blue Jays respond to everybody on every single platform of social media.
Do they?
Yeah. Like, they're good. Like, the Leafs get an all-star game vote last night, which we'll talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And first of the comments is Blue Jays, like, squad, blue heart emoji, like, gang, gang. And, like, anytime, if there's a Willie Styles OT winner, they're quick in the responses. Like, they are building the fan base.
They were there.
They're pumping out content, Justin. Go look at their Twitter feed. It's like video, video, interview, video, t-shirt, video.
They do a spectacular job.
Oh my God. Their presence was made.
Blue Jays social media is undefeated, unmatched.
Yeah, they're up there. I think the Leafs could learn a little something. They got to get looser, you know? Reply to get unhinged a bit.
Yeah.
Not Carolina Hurricanes unhinged.
They're definitely a professional outfit.
Oh yeah.
Like They're leaning on 100 plus years of history.
They probably pushed back on getting Twitter.
Well,
do we need this?
They used to be kind of snarky. But you can tell it, like, goes in waves, like who's in charge, who got hired,
oh, yeah.
who's not at the helm anymore. Kind of goes up and down a little bit, but they're pretty safe, let's be honest.
Like last night, the NHL announces like the voted in players for the All-Star game. Carolina Hurricanes quote tweet, delete your account. Like they're good. They're snippy, but they're not over the top. Like, remember when the Vegas Golden Knights came into the league and they were the first team to like tiptoe into like having a personality on Twitter. And I thought it was so much fun. Like they were chirping
other
teams.
They were really, really good.
And then it went off the deep end and I was like, I need to mute your account because you're insufferable.
I don't know if it's currently bad, but I think I've muted or deleted, blocked, whatever since. But like in the last couple years, Vegas has been the absolute worst team.
But the problem is everyone saw how successful it was. And now most teams have like that same voice where it's like, besties, like with the handshake emoji, like, And yeah, I get it because your
Leafs aren't doing best.
No. But anyway, I thought it was really fun last night with the Blue Jays. Good for them for getting there. It's, you know, winter tour here in Toronto starting. So got to see FaceTime with them. But the best part of my day yesterday.
Let's hear it.
You're going to be an uncle.
I'm going to be an uncle?
On the Fan Morning Show.
Okay. Why are you expecting?
I'm getting a puppy, Justin.
Awesome.
A real puppy.
You actually have, well.
A puppy.
What you just like purchased one? It was.
Yeah, last night I went to Amazon.ca.
What happened?
I've known for quite a while that I had put my deposit in and I've been waiting for my puppy. And it was officially born, so I feel like I can fully now discuss.
So its birthday was yesterday?
No, it was the 16th, but I didn't get full confirmation that, you know, you give it a day, a couple days, make sure they're cooking okay.
Okay, so the litter.
The litter has been born.
But you don't have your specific puppy?
I want to go touch them and see if they like me.
You've called dibs on one of these puppies.
Well, eventually, I will go see them in person. I'm sure the people that have gotten puppies before understand. Like, you go see them at, 6 weeks.
Well,
right now,
awesome.
They look like baby rats. Like, I'm not going to pick my puppy by a photo on Instagram where they're, slimy still.
That's very, very exciting.
I know.
So I got a puppy 8 years ago-ish.
Yeah.
My dog's eight. It's awesome. The drive home's awesome.
I can't wait.
It's a little stressful in the first couple
weeks.
Oh,
yeah. I won't be sleeping. But
it's
what's gonna new?
It's going to be very, very, very stressful. And I was going to say, you actually have the perfect job for dog ownership.
Yeah.
Because I can get up and go home and he hasn't moved yet, which is awesome. He just gets more sleep than me. That's really the only difference in our lives. So it's perfect. But early on,
it's going to be rough.
Early on, you're going to be stressing a little bit while you're on the air, I think.
Maybe I'll bring him in. So I'm getting a Bernedoodle, a mini Bernedoodle. Sorry, not mini. I don't want the mini ones. We're getting a medium Bernedoodle.
Okay.
And the litter is eight of them. I'm looking at them right now. They're so cute.
Do you have names?
So I have some
ready to rock.
And I thought that would be fun. The text line, please. I have a couple lists of names and I don't want to put them out there yet, but I don't also know the gender of said puppy. I have.
Okay. So a lot of questions left unanswered at this point.
God, do they even know what gender are yet? They just popped out.
Yeah. I think they know.
I don't know.
I think they know how many males and females they have.
Okay. Well, my preference, and I put this in with the breeder, is a male.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm not going to be disappointed if I get a little girl, but just initially, I had been picturing when I'm like, oh, my little boy is a boy.
Okay.
It's okay. So I have boy names and I have girl names ready, but I don't want to say them yet because maybe I will eventually, but I have a list of five and five that I really like, but very much open to text line options.
Wow.
I would prefer
name Ailish's dog.
Well, maybe, but I just don't want, no offense, a dog named Bella or a dog named Tucker.
Oh, don't offend Bella owners.
Tucker.
Where I live, there are a lot of Bellas.
Yeah, I that's okay, but I wanted a little bit different.
The most common dog name in Woodbridge, I think, is Bella.
Bella, and then I know about 45 people with a dog named Oscar or Tucker, and I like the names.
Oscar.
Yep.
My dog was originally Tucker. I think yours will be named.
To be Tucker, but it can't anymore.
I think the most common litter naming process is just picking Old Leafs.
Okay, but I grew up loving Darcy Tucker.
A Corson.
Yeah. But I'll give you one that I thought, I have two that are Leafs or hockey related.
Sure you want to do this?
Yeah. Bower, okay. But spelled B-O-W-E-R, but Bower, you know, is also the brand. Bower, but it doesn't, I don't like it as much. I was pushing
Bower is extremely on brand.
Yeah.
For you.
And I just I don't want to be girl.
You could be Graff.
I don't want to be that girl, but
yeah,
also,
I don't think you're that girl.
I'm also
5 years ago. You were that girl.
Yeah,
if you had a dog right now, it would be named Bower.
So that's an original thought of that's lower on the list. I also don't mind a name that's a human name. Cause I think it's hilarious. If it's Richard, Michael, get over here. You're at the dog park.
Richard is funny.
A hilarious human name. Shane. Oh, no, that's Corson.
Shane.
Something, not stupid, but something that's
Rick.
Funny. You know someone named
Bruce. One of my buddies has a Bruce.
Yeah,
it's a good name.
But
and Bruce
it
is
must
a beautiful
be a,
dog.
Bruce must be a French bulldog. That's a Bruce name.
It's not. It's a big, stunning dog.
Okay, I already see people texting them in. Oh, yes. Okay, there's one in here, Murphy. Well, we just worked with Blake Murphy, and I feel I know 10 dogs named Murphy, too.
Probably too close to Blake Murphy to have a Murphy.
The one that, there's one I really like. I don't want to say it yet.
Don't say it.
But anyway.
I don't think you want to do this because you don't want,
I don't want to get disappointed.
And I learned this from my sister. Like you start, like if you're, my sister shows up at Christmas, is pregnant long time ago.
Oh, okay.
And she doesn't want to say the names because immediately have a bunch of family members who are, six beers in and they're like, oh, I don't like that name. And
Becky,
like,
that's the worst name ever.
That was what I was planning to name my child. So thank you. So don't, your leader.
Wait, what? No.
No, that's
okay,
what I'm saying.
She's like, sorry.
That's what you're planning to name your child. And your uncle actively hates that name. Like, that's not very fun. So you should hold on to your number one.
Okay.
I think.
I got a 1A, 1B that are like close to the heart. Like I've been already saying it in my head, like, oh, blank.
What?
Like blank, as in that's not their name.
I thought you said Blake. I'm like, you just said no to Murphy.
Blank.
Now you're going Blake?
B-L-A-N-K, blank name.
One more question on this topic. Are you worried about, well, you're a cat owner.
Okay, and that's another thing, and this will be a discussion. So it's 6 weeks from now, I get to go meet said puppy and like pick
so
them out.
So we're looking at like end of March?
No, 6 weeks from now? It's like February something.
Sorry. Early March.
Yeah, so, no, I'll get the dog, like, March 12 weekend, I think. You get it at 8 weeks. I go pick it up. I go get it, see its beautiful face at 6 weeks.
Sad story. I got mine early because it was actively being neglected by its mom.
Justin.
So you might get it early. It's fine.
No, I think that they're going to... This is great. Hey, by the way, the breeder is out, like, it's in Palmerston, and people that are listening know where that is. It's, like, a beautiful farm that they're raised on. It's so cute. Anyway, please send in dog names. Please send in also if you have tips about integrating a dog into a life with a cat. I know that there's a long process. You don't just throw them in the room together. I know you do like a week of like they're beating each other slowly through the glass, through the little like the pen, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Please like legitimately message me, send me a message on like tips for that because I mean, I got some time, but I know that poor Bandit, my cat, She might be thrown off, but that's
small
fine.
Small space they're living in. They're going to have to get along. You're going to have some interesting returns.
I'm going to have some stories. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have some Instagram stories. Like you're going to have some hijinks when you get home.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Almost on the day-to-day basis for about a year.
Anyway.
But it'll be awesome.
So it's a very special week in my life. Congratulations to the dog that had 8 puppies and one of them is mine. Oh, the text line has the name, so this will be good. I'll be
Perfect.
Looking at them. Thank
Alrighty.
You. Thank you to everybody. So a beautiful day for me yesterday. Found out about the dog. Got to meet some high-profile people. Got to see a Leafs win.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not always a fun one, but it ended up being one. That first period, I was like, uh-oh, here we go. But my God, did we have a great discussion yesterday, Justin, about who should start in that? Did we not?
We did.
I wish we could replay that discussion on the radio today, but
we can. You want to go over it?
Well,
I now care if that makes anything.
Well, here we go.
I have an opinion on the next game.
That it is Samsonov's
it's gotta
net
be,
now.
It's got to be Samsonov.
Welcome
to the resistance. I just, it's not even about who it is. I just want to see someone have the chance to take the ball and run with it.
Whoa, backpedaling. You wanted it to be Murray.
Because I expected him to be the person that they actually
give extended runs to.
I want to see extended runs. I want information. I don't want, hey, sports science, let's all get together. Let's make sure it's the optimal situation for everyone because that's the only way we're going to win games. It's not going to be optimal in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So let's see which goaltender actually has it. Samsonov's the one showing it right now. So
hell yeah.
Samsonov. Let's see it.
I was earlier on the Samsonov agenda, and that's fine. I'll let you on the Sammy team, the Sammy bandwagon here. But buddy's been lights out. Like last night, he kept the Leafs in that first period. How many shots did he get in that first period? He was getting pummeled and no hesitation. He looked
really,
so
really good.
Confident. And this was a discussion we had even yesterday. You brought it up too, is that he's openly talked about like nerves in the moment. But
is there any part of you that's worried about him potentially overshadowing Murray and having this conversation going into the postseason? Because
we're still so far away from that. Honestly,
I know
if next week he has a crap game and Murray plays well and we're back to this.
But if Samsonov is objectively better the rest of the way, there's probably a really good chance that he starts game one of the postseason. And he's electric at home, so he's probably going to be pretty good. I think 12-0-1 now at home.
That's right.
And the game one should be on home ice unless the Tampa Bay Lightning catch the Toronto Maple Leafs. But like, are you not worried about the context of his season and how
don't live your life with future worries.
Okay, but I'm
Justin.
this is the whole thing with the Maple Leafs.
Are you not worried that your tire might come off on the 401?
No, I'm not.
Well, like, who cares? Cause live your life in the moment.
Because I don't have to worry about the 1967 when I'm driving on the highway. I'll just get CAA and we'll be good. Like, there's no
CAA,
future
honestly.
Consequences. What I'm saying is, this is still a huge unknown, and it
of
becomes
course.
more and more question marks if Samsonov just completely outplays Matt Murray. Like, we don't...
I'm fine with that.
It's great if you have a competent goaltender who looks like they can do the job, but that also wasn't the plan, and it wasn't the plan for a reason. So,
sometimes
where does it
leave you
off? Sometimes
you have to flush the plans, Justin.
Sometimes you have to. But hopefully, he's unaffected by the things that he has been affected by so far this year, because it's going to be a big spot, going to be a big moment, and how do they react? I think in the perfect world, Murray takes the ball, runs with it, is great, and you can count on that. You're going to feel better if Murray's playing at the highest level, really, really good mm-hmm. into the playoffs. But this might be the reality where they're rolling the dice a little bit, and I think we knew that getting into the season that they were kind of rolling the dice, so we'll see how it goes.
And I'm good with, if Samsonov's had confidence questions, this is the time to get him the confidence going.
Yeah.
He looked like he owned that net last night, and he was proud of it. He was being aggressive. He had those moments where he stared down the opposition. Like, that was a different Samsonov than we had seen when he played mm-hmm. some of those games where post-game we had questions about, you know, where is he at mentally? Like, it's really, that was a really good game by Samsonov. And obviously I'm being a little bit sarcastic about this is it, he's going to play every single game. But in the moment, I'm done with having to cater to Matt Murray's needs and to continue to try to put him in elevated spots, because like, this is why you play the regular season. We've just been talking about how nothing matters. Well, maybe it matters that you find a goaltender, and maybe you have to go back on your plans from the original part of the season where you invested in Matt Murray and he's your guy with a pedigree. Like, whatever.
The thing that matters most is the state of the goaltending down the stretch. Mm-hmm. If anything is notable from the Maple Leafs over the next 3 months, it's the performance of their goaltenders. And Ilya Samsonov, rather, has earned the right to continue to keep going and to prove himself at this level. I'd like to see him get that opportunity. But if we get back to, okay, next two or three,
sure.
we're going to go Matt Murray because we want to get him some home starts too. We want to make sure that he's comfortable. Then what are we doing here? Like, we're not really accomplishing anything,
right.
and we're just leaving all these questions lingering and hanging in the air. And I think they really have to find things that are concrete over the next 3 months. And first and foremost, the most important of which is the goaltending. Who's going to step up?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if Samsonov can do it.
Think about how many goaltenders this season from other teams have come in and stepped up in opportunities that they had. There's two rookie goaltenders that came in with literally zero expectations that are now going to the NHL All-Star Game. Stuart Skinner and Logan Thompson. Like, that's going to be the first time in NHL history that two rookie goaltenders are participating in the same All-Star Game. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of goaltenders that weren't expected to be the stars this year and have found a way. Like, so why not be a team that puts people in an opportunity? Because once a goaltender gets momentum, like, think about Jordan Binnington in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, we didn't even know one thing about him.
It can be a fleeting moment, but you have to capture that moment.
That's right?
Jordan Binnington hasn't been good since. I think he's signed two contracts since, probably both misguided on the part of the mm-hmm. St. Louis Blues.
Sure.
But like, you invest in Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Oof. Knight's your guy. Like, mm-hmm. you give $10.5 million to Carey Price. He can barely get through half of the contract because he's dealing with injuries and so on and so forth. Like, it's really, it all is a gamble. It all is a crapshoot. Everything is just like, you can't really plan on it. If you're the Oilers, you finally get some. The carousel stops for you, finally. You get Jack Campbell, and the rookie severely outplays the guy that you finally were able to bring in. Philip Grubauer goes from Vezina mm-hmm. Trophy to a bum in Seattle. Like, you can't count on it. There are only a handful of guys you can truly count on.
That's right.
And it's just about finding, capturing a moment and riding something that works. And I think maybe that's the gamble with the Leafs, is just, we got two guys. One of them can maybe carry us. It just might not be the person you expect, and you might not feel great about it in the moment, but if Samsonov plays like he did last night, mm-hmm. you're going to feel spectacular about it in the moment.
Luke Fox had a good tweet. I know it's got a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek to it, but I just thought it'd be funny to read. Ilya Samsonov at home, 12-0-1 with a .938 save percentage. Matt Murray on the road, 7-4-1 with a .928 save percentage. It's definitely a thing, Sheldon Keefe says. One playoff home goalie, one playoff road goalie, do it.
What is definitely a thing? Like, their performances the idea?
No. Their performances. Like,
yeah.
Because that's what...
And I guess that's why you said we got to get them home starts. Like, what does that even mean?
Sanford is electric at home. Imagine if you had... And this is so, like, obviously, as I said, tongue-in-cheek. But... All right, Samsung plays all our home games and Murray plays all our road games, and that's your tandem going to playoffs.
There's like a distinct possibility that it's that stupid, that it could be that stupid.
Do
and
something
work.
Different.
But Kevin Woodley, I'll give him mm-hmm. credit. 2 weeks ago, we talked about him, I think a week last Monday, so not quite 2 weeks. He was openly talking about how a two-goalie system might be the best for the Maple Leafs. I think that's nutso. Mm-hmm. Because it's never been, when have we ever seen that happen before? We've seen someone step in, get you through like, a week?
Yeah.
Like, didn't Scott Darling have to come in for Corey Crawford and they won a Stanley Cup? Like, that can happen, but alternating throughout an extended postseason run, that does not happen. Maple Leafs, maybe they're innovative. Maybe this is the secret they've uncovered. I find
if
it a little...
If they do that and it a is little successful, hard to believe. It would be the biggest storyline ever. Well, like, extension, boom, Kyle Dubas. Sheldon Keefe, Hall of Fame. Like, it would be
something for Sheldon Keefe if he pulled off the home and away and it actually worked to perfection. But the fact of the matter is, even Samsonov at a high level, mm-hmm. Murray at a high level, both of them alternating high level, it's Vasilevsky and Ullmark right now who are consistent.
Yep.
Consistent and the guy. I know Swayman's good, but it's Ullmark. Mm-hmm. And it's Vasilevsky.
And
there's
they're
no
riding.
Questions asked. They know what they're going to get from those two. They're comfortable. I don't think the Leafs are going to be comfortable, even if one of them, even if both of them continue to have great seasons. If both of them are at a high level, still we'll have that thought in the back of our mind
for
in
sure.
April when things start, because they are not proven entities yet. We'll see if they can, you know, move and trend closer than that before April.
Well, we'll go day by day because, you know, there's never any promise that players don't get injured, players don't find a slump. But right now, it's Samsonov's net. Leafs are playing Hockey Night in Canada on the road at the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow night. I would expect and I would believe and hope that that's Samsonov's net. Keep it rolling. They're back in action. Yeah. Home ice against the Islanders on Monday.
And listen, it's not, you know, Boston on
that's
Saturday night.
That's a big spot to be in.
It's still a big spot-ish. Mm-hmm. You can kind of like... convince yourselves that this is, you know, a big playoff game and big feel. Like it's the stage is there. That's and right. Maybe it'll be something that challenges Samsonov, and maybe it's something he can overcome if he's given that opportunity.
Okay, so you said that right now one of the major things that we care about is the goaltending, but we do also care about maybe we unlocked something with Auston Matthews taking rest, because he had a stretch there where he didn't play in a game, and my God, he looks like he was certainly found the right recipe for rest, and last night was an Auston Matthews performance.
And maybe we should load manage on this show. Maybe just like a spot week off, and we come back really good the next week. Like,
sure.
You might have had that right after the holidays. No, I think like even at short times, seems like it did something. Mm-hmm. I make fun of sports science and like all the people that are involved in these discussions, but if they determined that 48 hours off was the best thing for Auston Matthews, well, maybe you're right, because he looks absolutely tremendous since coming back. We've been talking about the missing piece all season long, right? Like, how are they going to use the Muzzin money? What's the one acquisition? What would you trade Matthew Nyes for, or Nick Robertson for, Topi Niemelä for? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the thing that puts them over the top? Well, the missing piece might be this season, the Auston Matthews of last year.
Because
that's not what we've seen this year. We've seen up until this point, you know, William Nylander having a career best season, a personal best for Mitch Marner, a fountain of youth for prolonged stretches for John Tavares. Like, a lot of good things happening, but it was all the time it was like, well, Matthews isn't quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if Matthews captures what he had last year for the second half of the season and into the playoffs, then maybe you don't need anything, and maybe that's the missing piece all along. Auston Matthews at that level, converting on his chances, shooting the puck like he did last night, and beating Connor Hellebuck like he did last night, I mean... that's going to be more powerful than any potential in-season addition. That can change what the Maple Leafs are right
massively.
Now.
Massively. And you know what? Maybe seeing Matthews take a little bit of time off, why not do that for some of your other players? Like, what's the regular season?
Why are we still running Mark Giordano out there every night?
Hey, goal scorer, Mark Giordano.
Yeah, you should have had the plus 900 on that last night.
We got a clip. I mean, obviously, post-game, it was about Sammy, and it was about Matthews. We got a clip from Sheldon Keefe on Matthews now looking like last year's version of himself. I know, pump the brakes, but baby steps here.
I would say I think it's probably the game that's looked closest to him last year in terms of him dangerous, in terms of the way the puck went in the net and a few of the other chances that he had as well. I mean, he could have had 4 or 5 tonight. So, I would say that, but I don't know if I would say it's his most complete game. He's played a lot of really good hockey despite not playing at the same rate offensively that he has last season.
It's just the threat level. That's what I think it is. Like, it's like...
It's threat level midnight.
He's looked really good all year long.
Do you know that reference?
No.
Oh, if somebody knows that reference, text it. No, I'm not even going to explain it.
Well, you have to explain it now.
Threat level midnight.
Is it The Office?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the best.
It's threat level midnight right now.
That's
for
right.
Austin Matthews. Because, like, yeah, he's put himself in spots and everyone's like, oh, what's wrong with Matthews? He's not creating. No, he actually is. He's more scoring chances than ever before. Well, I don't know if I completely buy that. But what I do buy it is... He looked like the menacing, terrorizing threat that he was all of last year, pretty much. More last night, I think Sheldon Keefe put it best. That's as dangerous as he's looked because it looked like he wasn't impeded by something, whatever it was. We don't know. We'll never know. Well, we might know at the end of the season if they're willing to talk about it. But it just seemed like Matthews has maybe turned a corner here, at least in terms of health. And it looks like a dangerous, dangerous player when he's fully healthy.
And this was on the night that he gets named to the NHL All-Star Game.
Yeah, it'll never be for William Nylander.
Oh, no justice for Willie. He's not making it there. But when you watch a performance like last night by Austin Matthews, you're like, yeah, that's probably
okay.
The best move.
I'm sure Nylander will, is it the 2C slide? The dance he was doing? The Drake song? What is it?
Tootsie slide? Tootsie? Tootsie.
Tootsie? I don't know if it's Tootsie. Anyway. He'll be fine just going on vacation, doing a little dance on Instagram.
Oh, there is no T. You're right. But it sounds like when he says it, like...
Now, who's with it now?
I think there's like, it sounds like a T.
No.
We're going to play that song coming in next.
Okay, we will. He'll be fine with just enjoying some time off.
I think it's gritty now.
I don't think he's doing that. How about me getting that right? Pop culture, baby.
Sick. It's the
Very
first thing you've got right on the
Very
show.
Proud.
Okay, yeah, we talked about the All-Star game. I'm glad that he's going. It makes more sense. But, I mean, Willie, it's too bad.
You know who's not going? Actually, I don't even know this as a fact. But they shouldn't go. Mark Scheifele. That was a tough night for Mark Scheifele.
You like Mark Scheifele, too.
Do I?
Does it not say my guy in here?
It was more sarcastic.
Oh.
My guy.
I was like I didn't know
guy.
You were like a Scheifele
no,
stan.
He was brutal. I mean, he had a really tough game. He was... Dance by Austin Matthews. He gave it up to Mitch Marner. He was...
Yeah, you look tough.
As responsible as anyone else for the bad things that happened to the Winnipeg Jets in the game. And, of course, he's complaining and whining. And this is, of course, his Super Bowl. He's talked about nothing better than beating the Maple Leafs. He's whining after Timothy Liljegren gets hit in the face, I believe, with a puck. Was struck at least up high with a puck, and he's whining about how the game shouldn't have been whistled down, and Michael Bunting screaming at him from the bench. It was a tough night for Mark Scheifele. I don't think things went as planned, and I guess he's got to wait till next year to try and achieve that sweet, sweet feeling of beating
That's
the Maple
right.
Leafs.
You mentioned Bunting, another great Bunting performance. Somebody on, I think, I'm going to make sure, I'll find out who it was on Twitter brought this up. It was like Omar, that Michael Bunting is... the Darcy Tucker of this generation.
He's Darcy Tucker without threat level midnight, if you want to put it that way.
He's more like threat level 8 p.m.
He's not the scariest dude out there. He's not the most menacing dude.
But they show him on the bench.
But he's a complete
pain in the ass. I'm scared out of my mind when I see him.
He's a complete pain in the ass. Yeah. And he will step up and say stuff. He will stick up for his teammates at every chance. And I think he might be one of the most popular guys in the room.
Oh, for sure.
Because he annoys
He's
everyone else.
By
he
that
annoys
team.
The other teams. But when you annoy the other team, if all 31 other teams hate you, it means your team loves you. That's just science. That's just how it works. And I feel like he's even growing more and more into the role where he's kind of one of the voices of the team and one of the people that kind of stands up. I think he's growing as a leader. I think he's about that. He wants to stand up for his guys. He does it at every turn. And yeah, there are some Darcy Tucker vibes there, even if you're not exactly, looking over your shoulder when he's on the ice. I'll say that.
Well, as someone that grew up loving Darcy Tucker, it's not there, but I get some of the similarities.
I will say you're right, though. It didn't feel like a rivalry. I went back and looked at it.
Yeah.
Fifth biggest rival.
Okay, name the other
four.
For
the Maple Leafs.
In the entire NHL, okay.
We'll go through it.
Well, no, I want to be specific.
I encourage you to go through it. Lightning.
And
again, Lightning falls off if they're not good.
Okay, like, but still.
Lightning right now.
We're talking about current rivals.
Bruins.
Yeah.
I'll give you Habs.
Like, literally, those teams are like...
Oilers. No one else. There isn't.
Yeah, okay.
Don't say Senators, because the Senators haven't been good for seven years.
Only when they play the Battle of Ontario do you like, oh yeah, these guys.
Well, it hasn't been a battle forever.
No, I know.
There's no one else. And there's no other team that generally brings out, like, a real acrimonious vibe than Winnipeg. Like, with Edmonton, it's about superstar versus superstar, and you get excited about it. With Tampa and Boston, it's about, you know, the division and big games and tough tests. Montreal, it's more historical. But usually it's nasty when Winnipeg and Toronto meet. Usually you need Wayne Simmons in the lineup. You had Jason Spezza throwing flying knees at Neil Pionk a couple years ago, or even last year. It seems like there's always something nasty and dirty about it when these two teams play. In their first meeting this year, Morgan Riley fought because Josh Morrissey, our guy, took a run at Nick Robertson. Usually it's nasty. Usually it's worth a rivalry. Last night, it didn't seem like the Winnipeg Jets wanted to really engage.
Before we talk about the Raptors, which is like the biggest drop-off in energy of conversation you can ever have, a couple texts in. Name your dog Bunting. I mean, it's actually like a good name, but I imagine I see Michael Bunting at the arena.
Yeah.
And he sees that I've named my dog Bunting. That's a bit creepy.
I don't know if he's reached that level of cult status.
No. There's a lot of good ones in this text line,
though. And the best thing about Tucker, it's like actually like a, it's, it makes sense as a dog name. If you were like...
Many people have Tucker dogs.
If you lived in Oregon and your dog was named Tucker, it'd be like, oh, that's a nice dog name. Like, it works. But if it was Bunting and you had no association of Michael Bunting, you're like, what
Oregon, what a random spot.
It's just, yeah, I chose a random, that was the intention, to choose a random spot.
All right. Good stuff from the Maple Leafs. We've got Charles Davis on the show, Blake Murphy, speak of the devil, at 7:30.
Two dog names there, Blake and Murphy.
And then Elliot Friedman joins us at 8. Lots to unpack with him. The rumors are rumoring. The mumblings are mumbling. And we're going to get him at 8 a.m. But my God, the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. This is it, Justin. Welcome to...
You're done after last night?
Yep.
You're done.
I think I've been done, but I've been...
No, you're done.
Not ready to really be done, but I'm done.
Like, until you say done, you're not done.
I think it's it. This is it. And it's funny because Will Liu,
he was awful. You need to listen
to the post-game Raptors show last night, because I felt for the guy. Like, he was going through the emotions, and so is everybody that watches this Raptors team. And nail in the coffin, the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't care what you're saying is, that game was embarrassing loss for the Toronto Raptors, and it just looks like they don't give a blank anymore. Like, you lost the game in the fourth quarter when you're down 14 points. You find a way to throw away another game. This has been the way that this team...
Up 14.
And this team has found ways to lose, and just like, well, how are we seeing this night after night? And I don't know how you watch this Raptors team right now and think that you want to keep playing for something. They aren't even playing for anything. They look like they don't even care.
They're playing for themselves. And I think the most obvious thing, or that states that, when have they played good this year? The best games. Two games in New York City.
Under the spotlight with the world watching.
Okay, I'll get up for this one. I'll play a little defense. I'll shoot the lights out here at Madison Square Garden. But when you got a band together in the fourth quarter to solidify a victory on the road against a team without its two best players who played on a traveling back-to-back, and you can't dig in that fourth quarter. Like, they... And things were going so well offensively to start the game. It was like... Oh, we're awesome tonight. We're shooting so well. We don't have to play defense because we're going to win this game anyway. And the moment their offense dried up, they couldn't turn the switch and play any sort of meaningful defense to stop the slide, to stop a 27-17 run in the fourth quarter from happening, to see them cough up another game. And I'm watching this game early, and I'm actually like kind of encouraged because there was that point, I think 5.5 minutes left in the second quarter. The Raptors had scored 59 points. They were on pace for exactly what they got in the first half, which was 77 points, I think they finished with. 5.5 minutes left in the second quarter, 59 points already in the bag. 9 players were in single-digit scoring. No one had double-digit scoring numbers by that point. 59 points, no one had more than 10. No one had more than 9. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at, that's what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have options. You're supposed to have a meaningful bench. Our buddy Wieskamp comes in, knocking down threes.
Honestly, this guy, best Wheezy part of the season right now.
And I'm thinking, like, okay, like, if we're not competing for the number one seed, we're not competing for jockeying for playoff spots, why aren't we not seeing more of the bench? Why aren't we not lightening the load? Why are we not seeing other people get opportunities? And I'm looking at him like, wow, everyone that's played is playing really, really well right now. This is awesome. And then once that run stops, once they go back to the starters, they never go back to the bench. Like, what are you doing?
This guy, Wheezy, on a 10-day contract, played over Boucher, Koloko, and
that's
Flynn.
The other thing.
Imagine those guys sitting on the bench being like, I can't even get in the game.
So they've had 9 players play. All of them are efficient. It doesn't include Boucher, Koloko, Malachi Flynn. Mm-hmm. That means you could have 12 people involved in this game, and you're surviving against these reserves. And instead of going deeper into the bench or trusting Achiuwa more or Thaddeus Young more or even Wheezy more.
Wheezy.
You go and you're just like so stuck in your ways with the 5 guys who decide whether or not they want to play defense on a nightly basis. Like just, it was really, really, it was so disheartening to see them like revert back to this such a reduced version of what they're supposed to be. This wasn't the Raptors that we expected this year. Mm-hmm. This isn't the Raptors right now. Playing the way that they have is really, frankly, embarrassing. And I don't even know where it leaves them other than they have to make changes.
I know where it leaves
because
them.
Because they don't
Let's
work
get
together.
This they trade don't, deadline going.
They don't, they're not playing for each other anymore. They're not playing for the organization. Mm-hmm. They're not playing for their teammates. They're only playing when it's convenient for them. When Fred has it going, he wants to shoot the ball. When Gary has it going, he wants to be aggressive. Same thing with Pascal. Literally the only one that has stepped up in this recent run when it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter in Minnesota on a Thursday night, is Scottie Barnes. And that's great because he's the only one that matters anymore. He's the only one that matters.
I think I said this after their previous game. When we had the similar conversation, I said the only thing that matters right now about the season is Scottie Barnes being Scottie Barnes. I don't care about anything else right now. The trade deadline could not come faster. But Scottie Barnes being Scottie Barnes, finding his footing again and finding his confidence is like literally, I don't know, what else do you care about right now? The trade value on some of these players playing for themselves is actually helpful. Like if Gary Trent Jr. is going to go out there and have a good game, great. Maybe you get more from Fred VanVleet, same thing. Gary Trent Jr.'s dad on the sideline, like talking about how he would have punched some other player in the face. Like it was just a weird night. But if those guys are going to go off and play for themselves, cool. You'll get a better return for them. But Scottie Barnes being a leader, finding his way to really like come into his own after the start of his sophomore season that was slow, that's all I care about right now. And getting something good for these players because I don't think that there's a feeling in my bones that this isn't going to be a blow it up situation at the trade. I don't know. After last night, maybe there's recency bias, but I mean, our guy Aaron Rose tweeted out, there's a 7.5% chance to land Victor Wembanyama now if the season ended today and a 31.5% chance at a top 4 pick. 31.5% chance at a top 4 pick.
In a good draft. It's not
if it
just
ended
Wemby.
Today. Like the top 4, like look who got that fourth last time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We're really close to that. And then Masai Ujiri, famously, play in for what?
Yeah.
Play in for what? You're not even going to play in for anything.
Maybe he set the tone because they clearly have the same mantra, the players. Play in for what? Like,
they look at the standings. They're like, what are we doing here?
We have no interest in getting into a play-in game, at least it seems. And this might be anecdotal and maybe it is speculative. But, you know, like, I think anyone can really relate to this sort of situation or analogy I'm going to present, where someone is really, like, there's a group, a team, a classroom, whatever. Someone's really unhappy, and they find a way to pull more people into that toxicity, right? Mm-hmm. They get more people to be unhappy and to start talking bad about this person or that person, and the toxic nature grows because more people are being roped into it. That's what it feels like it's happening. And I don't know that that's happening for certain. I don't know where that toxic nature or that toxic like start point is or who's involved in that. But the hope is, and I think it might've been happening at one point, that Scotty Barnes doesn't get lured into that. Like, you don't want him to be unhappy and jaded and mad and bitter and all this stuff. Like, you really, really should be actively trying.
I mean, I don't know how you can be, which is the tough part.
You should be trying to avoid that. And it feels like everyone is kind of getting into this mode and situation where they're so unhappy and bitter and blaming other people and only out for themselves. And you just want to preserve what can actually survive this group. And that is Scotty Barnes. So if things are getting ugly and messy, nip it in the bud, because it's only going to get worse. You don't resolve that stuff without actually making material change. Mm-hmm. If people are unhappy, they're going to continue to be unhappy. They're going to make other people unhappy. If something is truly broken, they've got to move on. And they've got to make sure Scotty Barnes doesn't get broken along with.
So are you there now? Like, was that it for you?
I feel like I've always been kind of there. Like, okay. I feel like I've always thought they're not good enough. They're not going to be good enough. They can't bridge the Fred and Scotty eras. So you have to do something somewhat drastic. I don't know if I wanted them to trade Siakam and OG because I thought Siakam, OG, Barnes could be the framework of something mm-hmm. really special and fun. But if they are unhappy, if they're part of it, they shouldn't be immune because the Raptors have to fix their culture now.
This what culture?
This is a culture thing all of a sudden. The Raptors have the strongest brand in the NBA for a long time. Like, only the Golden State Warriors had a real stronger brand where you knew what you were going to get. The sort of standard that's upheld over and over and over again. We talked about with Tim Bontemps the other day. Like, it's hard to be really good for a decade. The Raptors have been really good for a decade. They've held this standard. They've had this culture. And it's being challenged at a point like we've never really seen. And you have to preserve it. You have to restore it. And I feel like the way people are acting, the way people are approaching this season and the outlook and what they really want and looking maybe 1 foot out the door, it just seems like you have to do everything to try and rebuild that culture, not salvage the culture you thought you had.
I don't even feel like there is a culture right now because this team has always been the gritty, defensive, strong team that makes other teams feel uncomfortable to play against them. That's not the case anymore.
Couldn't be easier to play against Toronto Raptors right now.
Do you think anyone is circling that game on the calendar is like, okay, we got to get up for this game. Like, this is a tough one. No. I don't even think anyone has the Raptors in their mind anymore.
And I think you saw that perfectly last night.
Because mm-hmm.
the Raptors were scoring, but the Timberwolves were like, okay, last night was tough.
There
like,
was players on the Timberwolves I've never heard about in my lifetime.
Yeah, and they're just like, okay, we'll play this high-scoring track meet game. It'll be fun, and the night will go fast, and maybe we'll turn it on the fourth quarter if we have that opportunity. Well, guess what? You had that opportunity, and you turned it on. You were one team that actually wanted to play real basketball for a five-minute stretch, mm-hmm. and that was enough to win the game.
No, it's really disheartening. It's tough to watch, and Blake is pretty level-headed. I'll give him that, but I don't know where we're going to find positivity other than Scotty Barnes right now. And we're going to talk to him at 7:30. And he's the guy that's got the pulse on what the Raptors have, what the Raptors need, trade assets, future outlook. And he's been writing for Sportsnet.ca. So take a look at that.
And reasonable, measured takes, right?
Yes,
like
exactly.
We can like blow it up, but like you can't really.
And
there are restrictions on how much you can blow it up.
And we can be like, oh, blow up the team. But like, what do we think that means? Like, mm-hmm. that's a question for someone that knows.
And
that
what
means.
Are the consequences we're not thinking about when we discuss what the future could look like?
There's a lot. But right now it's easy to come in. Like, it's easy to feel pissed off and like, that's fine. But like, okay, the trade deadline's February 9th. What's actually going to happen? Blow it up. What does that mean? I think that's a good thing to get context on. And we'll have Blake at 7:30.
And if you don't do anything, like where does
oh
that
Oh my God,
you?
You can't not do anything, Justin.
I don't think you can either, but like, I don't know. Does Masai Ujiri really want to go through all this? I think that's another, like, I think besides, like,
you gotta swallow your pride.
Will he?
No, maybe not.
I don't know.
Maybe. This is a very big look into the people that run this organization, and we're going to see how, like, the writing's on the wall, buddy.
How committed is Masai? How committed is Nick Nurse? Because if you're going to fix the Raptors, it seems like you have to take not one, two, or three steps back, but a whole bunch.
And you're fixing the Raptors, you're fixing your mistakes.
Yeah. I think what Bontemps said with us the other day was actually something I hadn't really considered, and I've been thinking about it more and more, that it's really hard to, like, the league is made or designed.
Yes, where you're
that
good for
so,
4 years.
It's really
three, four
hard
years.
To stay on top.
I understand.
And they've sort of prolonged, and they've endured, and they've kind of pushed that narrative or envelope and resisted a lot of that. But there comes a time. The Reaper comes for everyone. And I think it's coming for the Raptors right now. Does Masai want to be around when this happens? He's got his protege waiting in the wings. His protege is the general manager of the team. Nick Nurse want to go through that? Siakam want to go through that? I don't know. There's so many questions with this team, and we're getting closer and closer to answers.
All right, we'll talk about that at 7:30. We're going to take a break and want to talk about the All-Star jerseys. That's next on the A-List on the Fan Morning Show.
Sportsnet 590, 590, The Fan. Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
I kind of want to just do the A-List of reading everyone's dog names, but I feel like I'll sprinkle that in later.
Is the A-List dance you do choreographed? I feel like it's the same every...
Oh, by the way, speaking of... No, it comes through my bones. A listener stopped me at the game last night and asked why we don't do the wake and rake jingle with the cash registers anymore. It was like, cha-ching, welcome to the wake and rake. You remember that? I'm looking at Josh. Do we do that? Like, do I black out every time that we do the wake and rake intro? Apparently we still do it. But he stopped me and I was like, I don't remember if we do that or not.
We come in with the wake and rake sound.
Does it have like the
Was there an extra thing?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
I feel like there might have been an extra thing.
But that's later in the show, and I couldn't remember. I was like, yeah, we should do that again. And I was like, wait, do we do it? Anyway. I was like, maybe I just put my headphones on still. Anyway, send that in, 59-59. We hit our alternative wake and rake last night. The things are fun. You know what? We're just pushing our limit with NCAA basketball, Youngstown State.
I was full degenerate mode last night, turning on Youngstown State in Green Bay.
Yeah.
I think it was
what a match,
Verizon.
Eh? What a game.
Verizon level.
Who knows?
College basketball.
But we hit our alternative parlay last night.
I had to see it come home there with the 11.5-point spread, I think, for Youngstown.
Shout out to Youngstown State. It was 15.5. And
it closed. Did it close 15?
I got it at 15.5, and they won by 16 points.
Oh, I didn't know you were in that boat, too.
Yeah, buddy, I was...
Oh, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only moron who missed out on the line. And I'm like, I'm going to be the only one who loses this.
Tough. Anyway, send that in at 59-59. We'll do an alternative one, too, because we're rolling hot with that one. Okay, so last night, the NHL, it was teased that they're going to go the reverse... the reverse retro look for the NHL All-Star Game, which is around the corner. Oh my God. I love these, Justin. I already have looked to see if I can buy it. They're supposed to go up for sale at midnight. Now they've pushed it to 9 a.m. And like the second the show ends, I'm add to cart. I love them.
Yeah, I'm not with you on this.
Okay, well, you
they
suck.
They look like painfully average.
They are.
Like, what is
90s
it? Do you just love
retro
teal and pink?
No,
like,
it's
what
the
is
90s
it?
Look that was like the
oh,
best.
It's the logo.
It's the best All-Star Game jerseys revamped for a modern look with, I mean, electric blue and pink is kind of fun. Yeah.
Okay. So was it just like the logo? Was it like just the NHL logo last
year? Yes.
Okay. That's lame. This is better. I'll
give
you that.
This is way better. Are you nuts? Like this is the retro vibe.
Not, you know,
I think it's the 1994 All-Star Game jersey that has been like iconic.
It does trigger a memory. It's just like, I don't know. It's not the most... my first thing was not like, I need to go buy this.
Yeah.
Well, you got to put an, it's too plain though. You got to put a name on it. It's not going to work.
I'll put
it's
four far.
It's a little plain. A little 4-far 27.
I just think they did. I like these. I've never really thought and cared about any All-Star Game jerseys until I saw these.
So I've been to one All-Star Game.
It's Miami Vice.
That's what I think you like about it. It's like the Miami, if the Miami Heat had a hockey jersey, this is it.
It's
That's
kind of a
like
gender
it.
Reveal jersey.
Why? Because it's
well, there's like blue and pink. Yeah, it makes me think of like the people that do like okay. throw a balloon up and
maybe there will be one there. What I liked about the jersey, I went to San Jose for one, and they just made everyone's jersey a little bit different. Like they kind of just like catered
okay,
it
yeah,
to
yeah.
that.
Like here's a Leafs.
Like, I think if you're a Maple Leaf, you should be wearing a Leaf on your All-Star jersey. It should be a different All-Star jersey catered to. But I think you should probably wear a Maple Leaf on the front of it. I will say though, the best part of this is the logo.
That's I love it.
I don't know if I love the jersey as much as I love the
Do
logo.
Do you not remember like the, I think it was 94, 96, like the purple.
Dude, you were born in 94. How do you remember that?
There's something called the internet.
Okay. But you said, do you remember 94?
I didn't mean like, were you remembering with your conscious brain in 94? Like, have you not seen on the internet, google.com, that these jerseys are electric?
Google.
And they've done a tribute to them. And I like the olden days. I like the vintage, as you know. And so I love these jerseys. So great. One less for me to fight over on the internet today when they go on sale at 9 a.m.
I will not be in line with you.
Would you
but
rather?
I hope you get one.
You know what? Would you rather one of those or a Seattle Kraken jersey and the team you hate most in the NHL? You gotta pick one.
Tell you what I don't want. I don't want the Western Conference Matty Beniers All-Star jersey. I will say, though, the Seattle reverse retros, the ones that they unveiled this year.
Yeah, but they're like 1 year old of a school.
That should have been their jersey. Unbelievable jersey. Unbelievable.
Well, we already talked all about the reverse retros, but I think that this is one of my favorite jerseys I've seen this year. So
okay.
You don't have to agree with everything.
It's more Miami Heat than Florida Panther, too, if I'm just going to nitpick more.
Sure, and those jerseys are really nice, too.
Okay.
Oh, Josh just put in my ear, get Nylander on the jersey. That's right.
It's not going to happen. He'll never be an All-Star because it's impossible.
I think you could customize the jerseys.
That's your
I'm going to put Nylander on the back.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to wear it around the streets of Toronto.
Justice for Willie instead of Nylander.
That's right. All right. Let's take a break because it's our favorite part of a Friday morning. It's Charles Davis, NFL and CBS color analyst, who didn't call any games and won't be calling any games until the Super Bowl. But we want to know how that couch viewing experience was. Kick your feet up. You've been working hard all year long. You get to watch like a fan.
Did he snack? Did Charles Davis snack?
I feel like he's a guy that has grapes. Okay. That's next on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.